Support comes from Country Financial, now through March hosting information sessions for farmers throughout the state of Illinois. Topics include updates to both the federal crop insurance program and the farm bill, and at most locations, how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. More information at countrycrop.com.
Joining us from beautiful Atchison, Kansas, and I think that's actually true, is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting. Thanks, Mike, for being with us.
Great to be with you, Todd.
And how's your day there today?
Well, we are kind of hunkering down here. The blizzard that was expected for most of Nebraska and northern and central Kansas has shifted on the GFS models. And this morning, the GFS model put Atchison right in the heart of about 15 inches of snow come next Monday, Tuesday. So I think we're starting to hunker down a little bit more and get more prepared this weekend if those models hold up.
Yeah, get prepped. Do you have snow on the ground at the moment?
No, we do not. We lost our snow probably about a week ago when the temperatures started to come up, and we're still very, very dry. And I think this goes back into the market price action today. We've got the hard red wheat that just won't want to rally with those kind of model maps if we're going to get that big of a blanket of snow over a large portion of Kansas and the key areas of Colorado and Nebraska for hard red wheat. So that's probably why your wheat is not going to be your leader to the upside this later part of the week and today like it has been the last 3 or 4 weeks.
So complex yesterday, in particular for both corn and the beans. We thought it was a turning day, an important one in the marketplace as it related to moving averages and some technicals. However, it bounced today and soybeans are up 4 to 5 cents.
Yeah, and that's where I don't have a lot of confidence in this price action today, Todd. I hope it holds, and if we can even gain even more off of these prices of 3 to 4 cents higher, as you say. But the Bank of Japan came out this morning and has taken its policy now to where it's willing to say it will go negative on interest rates. That has pushed the yen down 2.5%, the dollar up almost 1.5%. If it had not been for the stronger crude oil price action again today and what we saw yesterday, I think the grains wouldn't be reacting this well. I do like the fact that the weekly export sales were good, but I would be very nervous if the crude oil went negative on the day to see what the grains would do, and especially, again, the wheat, because the wheat, unlike the soybeans, doesn't have any weather support underneath it right now, given these models. Beans still looking very dry in Argentina's grain belt, still looking very wet in southern Brazil. So beans do have some fundamental weather support underneath them, but they're still probably trying to shrug off that cancellation from China on Thursday.
Yeah, so the cancellation, a big deal. You mentioned Argentina. Mostly, I believe, they ship bean meal correctly to China, so there's a reason for the meal to be up just a bit today.
Yeah, that's right. And, you would be watching the meal price in Rotterdam because that's going to be a good barometer for what Argentina expects to have. Earlier this week, we got a Reuters report from a private analyst that said there has been damage done to the corn crop due to the drought in January in Argentina. They haven't given that kind of a signal in the soybeans yet because they're coming into their flowering stage pretty much right now. So beans next week and the week after that will be important in terms of weather in Argentina.
Where do you find the Rotterdam pricing?
I have it on mine. I don't know if it's public or not, but that's something that I have on one of the paid subscriptions that I keep.
Excellent. So that's one of the places, of course, that soybeans from around the planet might enter Europe. I've been lucky enough, actually, to be there. Soybeans were coming in, I think, from Brazil at the time. They had kind of that little red tint. Soils are a little iron-rich there, much more like Georgia here in the United States, I suppose. And kind of tough for them because once you get those beans that have that red tint, it also shows up in the bean oil once
yeah.
they press it. So one of the things that kind of a differentiation, really kind of a unique function to go over and take a look at some of the way commodities move around the planet. And what happens, of course, is everything's priced right here in Illinois at the CME Group in Chicago, and then it all moves around the planet. Okay, so back to you. I think you're wanting to talk a little bit more about this wheat pit today. How important is it to the marketplace in total?
Well, I think because it's month end, it's pretty important. We just came off a 4-week high. So I think what we've got is a base being built here in the wheat. And I have to ask myself when I look at Europe and I look at even places like France and what you're talking about in the European wheat price, unlike the European bean price,
right.
We've been really pressured by the European wheat price. And I have to ask myself at the end of January, based upon this 4-week high we just put in with wheat, are we seeing supplies fall faster than demand? And I think we are at this point on a global scale. And I think there has been enough damage done from the cold weather in January on new crop that even Russia is talking about moving their export taxes around. Right now, as it stands, they're saying it sits where it's at. And so that also lends a little bit more negativity to the price. But wheat looks better than it did a month ago in terms of price action and in terms of global fundamentals. And so if I could take off the hard red wheat pressure in this blizzard coming into Kansas, Nebraska, I think wheat would be looking a lot better than it did a month ago. And that bodes well for how we go into February when we start to build that base price for the crop insurance in terms of new crop corn and new crop beans. So unless we see a major safe haven play run to the dollar as this Bank of Japan thing gets settled in over the weekend, I think you've got a good setup here at the end of the month with these markets, and especially with the wheat, since it's always the leader in my mind.
Yeah, so it's important to remember that the bulk of the wheat raised on the planet is raised in the northern hemisphere. We talk often at this time of year and around the year about the Argentine wheat crop and the Australian wheat crop, but the majority of wheat is grown in the northern hemisphere, so, and much of that in Ukraine, Russia, and the western parts of Europe. So you've been watching that really closely.
Yeah, and I think the other key to make to point to make to Todd is the idea that, you know, India and South Africa were not on the radar screen a year ago or even 6 months ago, but those two countries now are looking at potentially record wheat and corn imports, record wheat imports into India, potentially, and record corn imports now into South Africa. And I think this bodes very well for the psychology and the sentiment, especially if we get that shift. And a lot of people are talking about it right now in Chicago, that shift from El Nino to La Nina. I think that takes off the potential for a sell the rally type sentiment like we had in 2015, that if we turn to La Nina, the idea would be maybe we don't want to sell this too quickly.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Todd.
You betcha. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas.